Good morning and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McLavey welcoming you to our time of worship. This morning we're going to have a message out of Colossians. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Colossae. And I'm looking this morning at the subject of freedom in Christ. You know, this is the weekend prior to our 4th of July celebration, where we as a nation celebrate our freedom as a people. And there is also a freedom in Christ that we need to be aware of, that we need to pursue. And so this morning, that's what we're going to look at, is the topic entitled Freedom in Christ. And it comes from the book, from the letter to the Colossians. So before we begin our message this morning, let us have a word of prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for all of the ways that you bless us. We do indeed thank you for our freedom. Lord, we thank you for our freedom as a nation, but we also thank you for our freedom as believers in you. And we pray that you will instill in our hearts this intense desire to experience the freedom that awaits us when we believe in you. And so we pray all of this, Lord, praying that you will open our hearts and our minds and help us, Lord, to understand your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture passage this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 2, verse 16 through chapter 3, verse 4. Hear now from Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This is the word of the Lord. Well, as we look forward to the 4th of July on Tuesday, it is appropriate that we, as a free people, remember the many freedoms that we enjoy. It is appropriate on this particular day, that we remember our freedom to worship the God of our choice. And as Christians, we choose to worship a loving and compassionate God the Father, a risen and living Messiah in the person of Jesus Christ, and an ever-present comfort, guide, and friend who surrounds us and dwells within us as the Holy Spirit. The Trinity, Abba Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit. That's the God that we are free to worship, and we give thanks. But beyond the freedom that can be granted by a nation and a constitution is a freedom that transcends every geographical boundary, every legal document, and every ideology. It is a freedom that transcends every church denomination, every congregation, and every theologian who has ever lived. I am speaking, of course, of the invitation to each and every one of us to have freedom in Christ. The Apostle Paul was definitely a believer in living freely in Christ. That's perhaps why he felt compelled to write, and to write some more. He wrote many letters to those fledgling churches of the first century. But his words continue to inspire us today as we recognize the passion with which Paul addressed the newest believers in Jesus. You see, Paul knew something about faith that he was destined to share with the world. While we have heard the story of Paul's conversion many times, I think it's important that we briefly visit the story this morning because it gives us insight. As we know, Paul was born as Saul, a Jew from Tarsus, who was a leader in the persecution of the new Christians that followed the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul was on his way to Damascus to round up more Christians to take as prisoners back to Jerusalem when he had an unexpected experience along the road. Yes, he heard the voice of Jesus. And not only did he hear it, but Jesus was speaking directly to him. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? You know, it's a question that many of us have had to answer at some point in our lives. And just like Saul, we have felt pretty exposed and alone when we have realized that Jesus is speaking to us. But here's what I want you to hear today. When Saul was under the care of Ananias, before Jesus had restored his sight, Jesus said these words to Ananias regarding Saul. And this comes from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. And it says, "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.'" Can you imagine someone who had been persecuting Jesus was chosen personally by Jesus to proclaim the name of Christ to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel? Yes, friends, Paul was called to proclaim the name of Christ to the world. And it says then in verses 20 through 22, "At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, 'Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name?' And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. Well, I wanted to recount this morning this story because I firmly believe that it was at this time in Paul's life that he truly became a free man. Oh, we know that he would endure numerous times in prison. He would be persecuted himself for his boldness in Christ. And he would eventually die a martyr's death. But he became free when he chose to follow Jesus Christ. He could no longer deny that Jesus is the risen Son of God. And he set out on his mission of telling the world that Jesus is alive, that salvation is available through faith, and each one of us can live freely in Christ, even in a troubled world filled with hatred and division. Now, Paul was in prison when he was writing to the Colossians. He had heard that there were false teachers infiltrating the church. You see, Colossae at that time was a relatively small town in Western Asia Minor, which is today Turkey. And it was a part of the Roman province of Asia and was best known for its commercial textile industry. It was not a well-known city, and in fact was in decline at the time of Paul. The only mention of Colossae in the entire New Testament is in the opening line of this letter. But it was important enough to Paul to deserve a letter from prison, and one of his concerns was that the Christian church there was being threatened by false teachers who wanted to make salvation more difficult than merely having faith in Jesus. The area was renowned as a haven for exotic spiritual pursuits. Numerous pagan cults and mystery religions were popular there, including the worship of various astral deities, including the sun, the moon, and the stars. Colossae also had a sizable Jewish population, many of whom most likely were still observing the old traditional Jewish laws. Paul addresses these concerns in Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17, where he says, "Therefore do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ." Now he's saying that these things no longer have even the appearance of relevance because there is a new freedom in the coming of Christ. The old beliefs and the old traditions and old laws were being observed when we were still waiting for the coming of a Messiah. But now that he has arrived, fulfilling the prophecy of his coming, and now sits at the right hand of God, these things are merely a shadow, Paul says. The reality is now found in Christ. In Colossians 2, verse 18, Paul says, "Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such people also go into great detail about what they have seen, and their unspiritual minds puff them up with idle notions." Well, when he says, "Don't let anyone disqualify you," the word there in Greek is the word katabrabeo, which means to defraud. And the word is in the context of someone who has received salvation and the freedom to live with Christ by having faith in him. But they're being told, no, it's not that easy. You must earn salvation. Well, Paul recognizes our freedom is salvation by faith alone. And he's warning not to be defrauded of that freedom. Don't let that freedom be taken away from us by false teachers. And don't you love the way that Paul, the former persecutor of Christians, can now say, don't listen to those people. Christ is the answer. He says it with such authority. And so Paul writes to the Colossians that if your goal is to attain salvation through Christ, then just believe in him. Forget the rules of the world. Don't make it more difficult than it needs to be. The Messiah has already come. Live freely in Christ. And while you are living your life freely, set your hearts and minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Well, friends, this morning we will be celebrating our freedom to worship in yet another way. We will be moving to the Lord's table, and we will celebrate the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives by his Spirit. We will be doing this through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We acknowledge Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and we experience the freedom that brings to those of us who profess our faith. By the taking of the bread and the cup, we receive the sign and seal of our faith in a risen and living Christ. And in doing so, we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for each of us. Through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we are reminded of the scene in the upper room where Jesus was with his disciples just before his betrayal and arrest by Roman authorities. Jesus knew he was on his way to the cross when he demonstrated his love for his disciples by washing their feet as the act of a humble servant. And then they had supper, the Lord and his disciples. Well, this morning we do the same. We partake in the Lord's Supper. We celebrate our freedom in Christ. And we remember the sacrifice that he made so that we might have eternal life. To the glory of God. Amen. Friends, this morning we have the joy of hearing a great song arranged and performed by Alan Vest. This morning we will be hearing Seek Ye First. How appropriate it is as we look to our freedom, as we remember our many freedoms on this weekend prior to the 4th of July, and as we will be celebrating our freedom on Tuesday, we realize that our freedom in Christ truly comes from our faith. It does not need to be any more difficult than that. It merely requires our having faith in Jesus. And so, what an appropriate song. Let us now enjoy Alan Vest as he sings Seek Ye First. Our thanks to Alan for that great song, Seek Ye First. How appropriate, along with our passage this morning from Colossians. And remember what the Apostle Paul said to the church in Colossae. He said, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And yes, friends, the message that I wanted everyone to hear today is that you don't have to make it more difficult than Jesus has made it for us. He says simply, believe. Yes, believe in Christ. Have a wonderful week ahead, and thank you for listening.